I think it's a matter of our perception of our path and not the path itself.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creators, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. Twice a week, we will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder. Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Joel Schroeder, in Boulder, Colorado today with Trevor Hall. Trevor is a musician, artist who got started quite young on his journey. Just last year, he released one of the most funded music projects in all of Kickstarter, launching his new album series, which is actually four-part, called Fruitful Darkness. And you've toured all over the world. You were from South Carolina, living in Hawaii, now you're in Boulder. It's such a journey, to say the least. But welcome to our show and fill in any gaps that I might have left out. And,
no, you did good. Yeah. That was good.
Yeah.
I was following it.
Yeah. Yeah, give us a glimpse into your personal life.
I'm a musician and started super young. My dad is a musician, so music was always kind of the main theme of life, really, kind of inseparable from life. And then I signed a deal straight out of high school, so it was quite quick. I didn't go to college or anything, and kind of had to learn the game pretty fast, and have been doing it the last 15 years.
Yeah.
So this is our first, this release, The Fruitful Darkness, is our first independent release, so it's kind of it's been a cool journey to be on a label for, you know, so many years and now have an independent project out. It's been pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were just talking, I was at one of your last shows that you did in Colorado, and it feels like you've definitely been innovating a lot in your music path, like coming from maybe more of the conventional model of record label, playing by someone else's rules, to being like, you know what, like, I have a vision and we're doing Kickstarter and we're doing it our way. And to see your fans kind of rally, how has that been for you, and especially the switch to the...
That's been the coolest part. I think as artists, I feel like we have to adapt to the times, and, you know, with technology, I mean, the music, like, business, I guess, has changed so much, and it's changing so fast, you know, where, I remember when I got my new Mac, you know, that didn't have a disc drive on it, like, stuff like that, like, you know, I can't remember the last time I bought a CD, you know, so, you know, music has really kind of moved to streaming, and kind of moved to, like, you know, people are releasing singles a lot more, and so for this record, it was really important for me, because I feel like I wanted to break it up, because I feel like we, as people, we've kind of lost, like, our attention span a little bit, you know, like, even if we like an album, like, say we have this album of our artist and we love it, it's kind of hard to make it the whole way through, you know, so so I didn't want any songs to get lost. I didn't want any stories to not get told. And I wanted to kind of move into this model of, like, taking it, you know, a little bit at a time. And because it's an independent project, I was able to have the freedom to make that decision.
Yeah.
And it's been cool in that regard. And it's also been really special in the regard of building it with the fans, you know, because it was funded by our community. So it's kind of been... Whereas before, you know, as artists, we, like, write these songs and we record them and then we give them to the fans. This project is, you know, from the ground up, like, with the whole way. So it's been really rewarding and cool to...
Yeah. It's reminds me of, like, a co-created model.
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
Like, rather than, like, go into your own cocoon world, spend, like, a year of your life, like, making it perfect and then delivering perfection.
Yeah.
It's kind of like letting... your story.
That's the part that's been really rewarding, and really, you know, we're learning as we go too, you know, so it's kind of cool to, like, be learning with our community.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
So you didn't go to college. And you just like run after it. And I love that. And why I wanted to highlight that is like, it's such, you know, we, at least I grew up and you might have as well. It's like, go to school, get into college, get a good job, get a better job, and then like die.
Basically.
And so how was it? Like, we were a fly on the wall of you growing up like in South Carolina, like even grade school or high school, like what would we have seen like Trevor back then fly on the wall in your years?
Well, I grew up in a really small town. It was an island. It was called Hilton Head, and really beautiful place, but not really conducive to like creativity. Really, it's I went to a prep school, you know, from like kindergarten all the way to like 10th grade, where you have a dress code and you have to, you know, wear khakis and certain colored shirts and collared shirt. You know, like, it was, you know, no room, I guess, for like expression, you know, and it was very much that route of, you know, you play a high school sport, you know, you get a scholarship, you go to college, preferably in the South, you know, you get married, you have kids, and then you move back to South Carolina. Like, that's kind of like this model, you know?
Yeah.
And I just wasn't about the model at all. And I didn't have room to, I guess, really like express myself the way I wanted to express myself. So that was kind of interesting being in that environment, you know. Very supportive, but also it just, it was like suffocating. And then, you know, the music thing was, I was playing music through high school and middle school, and was really understanding, I think, that this was like my path, you know, and I wanted to like follow my path, my destiny, I guess. And I went to a boarding art school, an international school in California in 10th grade. And that was completely opposite of the prep school. Like, there was kids from all over the world. So, you know, you got to experience how all these different cultures, how they create and express their ideas. And then it was so focused on creativity. It was so focused on the arts. You know, you could wear anything you want to class. You could have purple hair. You could wear your pajamas. Like, so it was this, and it was just kind of this like, whoa, like, freedom, you know, and that was really important for me, and that those years were kind of some of the best years of my life were there at that school. And then and then it just happened, we were playing a lot around LA, word got out, and my senior year I signed this a record deal, and that was that was kind of the process of getting there.
Just as you were talking, reminds me of the movie, I think it's Pleasantville, where you see the world in like black and white. And then all of a sudden you see it in color. Like the move from being in South Carolina into California.
Very much so. I mean, your environment shapes your reality, you know, so and your perception of reality. So it's interesting being in an environment where you don't agree with the reality, but that's all it's being told to you. So it's kind of this interesting, confused kind of space, but and when you're young, you know, you have so much angst, you're like trying to figure it all out.
Totally. And when you're old too.
When you're old too, I'm still trying to figure it out.
It's just like, how does it match? And I like you touch about that, because I think, you know, I personally can resonate to that, and I think a lot of our listeners as well, where it's just like this, you know, thing, this conversation that a lot of us have just inherited, yet this internal knowing that, you know, it's like an incongruence. It just like doesn't quite match. And how have you grappled with that, or how have you found your own freedom of expression in that? And even if you remember like being like a young person when it was maybe more alive, like how you worked with it.
I don't really know. I think for me it was just like, I think when you feel something so strongly within yourself, there's a point where it doesn't matter what environment you're in and if it matches up. Because if you have a fire within you that is just so loud, you know, and burning so strongly, it's gonna find a way to like show its light, if even if you're in a place or with people that don't, I guess, necessarily align with that, you know. So I just kind of kept on keeping on, you know. I kept on, you know, listening to my heart and kept on doing what I love, and that was playing music no matter what, you know. So that was my path. It was just play, and it's almost like, you know, the environment, I think, when we're in environments that don't maybe necessarily support our vision, it's almost a blessing, because it's more fuel for the fire, and you wanna reach out, you know, harder. You wanna like go for it. So, you know, I think that was kind of, that really played into it as well.
Yeah. So when you look at now, you know, which like at the time, you know, just graduating high school, it was like getting the record deal, probably felt like, yes, like, I made it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, doing, you released how many records now at this point?
I think it's like six or something, but
yeah,
it wasn't like that though. It was a roundabout path, because I signed the deal. And yeah, we were like, yeah, oh my God, you know, and I'm 18 years old and I have like all this money, and I like moved to LA in this like big ass apartment right on the beach, you know, and I was like miserable because I was so lonely. I didn't know anybody in LA, and I was in this big place. I'm 18 years old. I don't know how to cook myself breakfast, you know. So, you know, I'm kind of like eating out all the time, and I didn't have any friends because, you know, I was in boarding school, so it's not like when you graduated school everybody's like at home, you know. Everybody's around the world, and I was just surrounded by like grown-ups all the time, and I couldn't go to like, I wasn't in college, so I didn't know anybody from school. I wasn't old enough to go like to parties, really. Like, so yeah, it was kind of a lonely time. And then I think there's the perception of like, you know, you sign a record deal and you're famous, you know. And for me, it was a really rough road, because we signed this deal, we recorded this album, and the president of that label moved, like left the label, and a new president came in. So a lot of people were dropped from the label and all this stuff, and everything got put on hold. So that record didn't come out. So the new president came in and said, we're not going to drop you, but I don't like that record. I want you to record another record. So I'm like, okay. So we record another record, but this is over the course of like 3 years, a long time. And they kind of set that up to be released, and then at the last minute they decided, we don't like this record and we don't support you, so we're dropping you. Wow. Right? So over the course of 3 years, I had no music coming out. But not because I didn't want to, because there was this big person in a big building that said, you know, no. Mm-hmm. And those records are shelved, so I can't, they own those records.
Yeah.
So it was definitely not the way I saw it going, you know. Mm-hmm. And 3 years later, I'm dropped and, you know, don't have any money, and I'm like, what do I do? But I just kept on going. So it was a really roundabout journey.
Totally. I think a lot of people, including myself, can relate to like the guy upstairs that kind of dictates your own expression in a lot of ways. And it reminds me of like a wake-up moment. For me, it was a near-death experience a few years ago. I had this like wakeboarding accident and full-blown like white figure visiting me, six shadow council conversation of like,
whoa,
you have more work to do in the world. Do you want to do it?
Right.
And they thought I was paralyzed. They thought my neck was broken, and zapped back into my body. Felt this energy forge my neck back together.
Whoa.
And the moment I woke up, like everything altered.
Yeah.
And it was definitely a wake-up moment. I don't think you have to literally like die and come back
right.
to have a wake-up moment in that way.
Don't go and die.
Yeah. Everyone's moments come in different forms. But in a lot of ways, like, it really course-corrected. It was hard at the time, but it course-corrected my path. And it sounds like, I imagine, what were you, like, 21 at the time?
Yeah, 22? Not even.
Yeah.
I mean, I was 20.
20,
I
yeah.
was 20 when we got dropped, so still like so young, trying to figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah, which I think, you know, would have been easy by conventional standards to be like, yeah, well, you failed.
Right,
so, like,
right.
Pack it up and
yeah.
go get a real career
yeah,
and
yeah.
make some real money.
Yeah, yeah, and there was definitely that, I guess, crossroad type thing. But for me, it was like, when we got dropped, I was like, oh my God, like, I'm finally free.
Mm.
And I felt this freedom, rather. And I was like, now let's do it. Like, let's do what we want, you know? So... But it was that lesson of, I think, being so young, thrown into this business world, you know, that is so fierce and ugh, you know, and having to grow up like really fast and make your own decisions and not be swayed by other people's opinions. And it was just a really, really big learning experience.
Yeah. It seems also like the start of really finding your own relationship to yourself
mm-hmm.
in a lot of ways, and like
yeah,
asking
I mean,
yourself.
That was probably the beginning of it.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure that out.
You're both.
15 years later, yeah. Yeah.
I hope I actually never fully figure it out.
Yeah,
that means
no,
I need to keep going.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, you know, and what you've learned from that point and to where you are now, like what advice could you give to some of our listeners that are, you know, charting their own path and, you know,
mm-hmm.
maybe dealing with their own adversity and challenge in their own way, and just like how to cultivate the mindset really
yeah.
to keep going.
Well, I think that, like, you know, like I was saying, from my own personal experience, you know, that time was so difficult. You know, that time was so, oh God, just so many punches and roadblocks and then getting dropped and everything, but that whole time was such a blessing, and all that time, I mean, it's so cliche to say that it's all a blessing, but it really is. Like, every situation that comes into our lives, I feel like, bad or good, it's necessary for our own awakening. And I think when we, you know, when we look ahead, like in our lives, we see many different paths. We see, oh, I can go this way, and I can go that way, and I can go, you know, but when we look back, we only see one path.
Mm.
And really, there's only one path, you know, we kind of think we can go, but every situation, every setback, every success, every, you know, challenge, everything is the dance, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's a matter of our perception of our path and not the path itself, that, you know, because whatever situation you're in, it really relies on your perception. So
mm-hmm.
I think there's that. I think there's like kind of understanding that everything is necessary on your path. And also for me, it's really about, really, you know, again, with the cliche remarks, but listening to your heart and really, really learning to feel your own intuition and feel your own energy and fire despite everything else, you know, because that's the most important thing, and you should never let anybody take that away from you.
Yeah.
Because once it's taken away, it's very hard to get back.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's just look up all the cliche remarks on Google. that'll be my advice.
Trevor Hall, you're first.
Listen to your heart.
Follow your path.
Follow your dreams.
So good. So good. So with your music, you know, I know you also, you know, care a lot about impact, especially environmental
mm-hmm.
stuff. You've done a lot of different collaborations, and you know, when you're writing, like, where do you access your own inspiration, and
mm-hmm.
how do you find that intuition in of yourself? Because I imagine it fuels a lot
mm-hmm.
of what you're creating. And what's that connection like for you, and how do you keep the flame stoked?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the writing process is like a process of getting out of my own way. It's another cliche remark, but it's really like, I always describe it as like, I feel like I'm a listener.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like the song is singing me, and I'm like a really intense thinker. Like, I'm very moody, and I can get stuck in like my head, like all of us, but I can get really stuck, you know. And music is the only place where I feel like I can get out of my own way. So it's my medicine. It's it's my blessing, it's my meditation, like this. So for me, it's a process of just listening and witnessing and not trying to analyze anything, because, like, you know, I think certain artists, they're, you know, some people are like, oh, I'm going to write a song about this girl, mm-hmm. or I'm going to write a song about this experience. For me, it's not so much like that. For me, it's, I just want to hear what this has to say.
Yeah.
And not analyze if it makes sense, not analyze what the song's about, nothing. Because I don't want to restrict that energy in any way. I don't want any of myself involved. Mm-hmm. I just want to hear it. Because I found that, you know, these songs will come out, and I'll, like, I have no idea what this song is about, you know. But maybe a week later, 2 weeks later, a month later, a year later, I'm like, oh my gosh, I get it. Or that was teaching me about a certain time, you know.
Yeah.
And there's still songs that I still don't know what they're about, but even that is medicine for me, mm-hmm. to surrender to the not knowing of what it's about. So that space, to answer your question too, is like that space, it's not like a space that I can choose to go into. Mm-hmm. It's a space that I have to be patient with, and that space, that energy comes through when it wants to come through.
Yeah.
And when it does come through, I have to really kind of drop everything and honor it, because I don't know when it's going to come back next. So it's a thing that I'm not really in control of. It's a thing I feel like involved in,
yeah.
a lot, you know? So it's, but that's why it's so healing for me. That's why it's so medicinal for me and so beautiful and, you know, inspiring.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me, I call it being a channel. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think, you know, we're all channels in our own way, in mm-hmm. our own expression, where, you know, for me, when I'm, you know, with my music or even when I'm speaking, it's like mm-hmm. literally like Jules pauses, steps out of the way,
yeah, yeah.
and gets used. And right. the willingness, I think over time, you know, to recognize, okay, like you said, here it is, like it's right, time right, to right. like open it up and allow, has been an edge that I've been working,
right, right.
you know, in my own life. And for you, like, what practices do you do? Like, for me, I know what's important is, like, I love being a hermit. Like, mm-hmm. we're literally in my mountain house. Like, right. I love to just shut off and kind of shut down. But are there some, like, daily rituals that you do, or pretty regular ones that you feel like keeps you kind of in that feedback loop with yourself?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, I definitely have, like, my own spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every morning I sit, you know, and try to listen then, you know, and kind of, I guess, tune myself, you know, to the yeah. space, you know. But for me, it's just, it's kind of, I need to kind of be alone, you know, quite a bit, and talk about being a hermit, but just kind of like, I guess, cleansing myself from like all the other psychic, you know, energies going around. I think when you're sensitive, like any artist really, I think, there's a part of us that needs to kind of just disappear in a way. Mm-hmm. So, finding, you know, those things, like if it's just like going for a walk, even, you know, if it's just like zoning out, you know, by yourself, whatever it is, just to kind of cleanse my energy, I guess. But
yeah,
it's just kind of just being simple and
yeah
nothing crazy, like no like intense ceremonies, you know, week-long fire ceremonies in my house, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I know you're married as well. Mm-hmm. And how is it like being in relationship and in partnership while mm-hmm. also being on tour a lot, while also, you know, being in your own practices, like mm-hmm. a lot of part of the unconventional life, it's not just success in one area, like mm-hmm. career, it's like, how do you bring in all the things, right?
Yeah.
So how do you manage all that, and how is she with mm-hmm. all the pieces, and
right.
yeah, how does the flow work?
Well, she's an artist too, so it
that
makes
helps.
It helps, yeah, yeah. because it I think we both understand, you know, the process of creativity and kind of what it takes to be in our creative space, you know. Mm-hmm. But it also helps because we collaborate on a lot of stuff. You know, she's a photographer and filmmaker and stuff like that. So it benefits me, you know, it benefits my project, you know, in
yeah.
that regard, because
hey, honey, can you
Well, it benefits me because you know, your loved ones understand you, you know, and your loved ones understand your, I think, style. And so it's easy for me because I don't have to really quite explain myself so much to her. And that's kind of, with my creativity, it's really refreshing to not have to try to explain your like art to somebody. So it's it's really easy to like work with her and really easy to create with her. And you know, because she's an artist and helps us out on so many different things, you know, she travels with us a lot. So there's that little more of that freedom of you know, being together rather than if your partner is, I don't know, just on a different type of thing. Yeah. So it's quite easy for me. I don't have to struggle too much with that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, powerful partnerships in the unconventional way.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So tell us about Fruitful Darkness, this last little part before we wrap up here, and kind of like what feedback you've been realizing for yourself, because it sounds like it was an experiment, like you threw it out. It was like, okay, I'm doing this independent, we're doing a Kickstarter, I want to release music in real time, get feedback, like really have people get every song, every story. So like, how is it in your own internal tracking of like, is this working like you wanted it to? Has it opened something else up? Like what have you been learning from the feedback? Not externally even, but just your own feedback of the experiment.
It's a very humbling experiment, like so humbling. And you know, the Fruitful Darkness, it was all inspired by astrology. It was all inspired by Deb, really. And, you know, I was going through the last couple of years my Saturn return, which was, I didn't really know about that at all until I met Deb, you know.
It's kind of that explains
why. And it was really, really hard, like really hard for me. And a lot of things that I kind of, I think, like, staked my identity on, I felt no connection to anymore. And as a result, I felt like I didn't know who I was, like, at all. And was in this dark, you know, kind of place of just, like, being alone, I think. But that darkness, turning into that darkness and not turning away from that darkness helped me really go deeper inside myself and find out who I am in my essence, you know, and that, and who we are in our essence. And that's what the whole Fruitful Darkness album is kind of about. All the songs are inspired by that journey of turning inward and realizing that we can't shy away from the things that scare us, you know, and the bigger questions, I guess. So you know, it's that, it's not like a journey that I finished, you know, it's a journey that I think I'm just starting. And so it's been interesting to kind of play these songs over and over, you know, every night and be in that meditation and also see people's different interpretations and what they bring to the table with their own experience. It's just been like a totally crazy eye-opening experience for me. And it's just a path that I know I can't turn away from, you know, like all of us have different goals, all of us have different desires, you know, like I want to know like who I am, like in my deepest sense. And I know it's a path that I can't shy away from. So the whole project of Fruitful Darkness has really helped me start the path and get clear on the path and really go for it.
I am smack dab in the middle of my Saturn return.
Do you know where your Saturn is?
It's in, I was just talking to Deb about it. I don't remember. It's in the House of Family.
Oh, so it's in the fourth house.
It's in the fourth house, yeah. So it's in the fourth house, which is ironic because a lot of my family members work for me. So it actually is intersecting some business stuff too. And it's having me really just step back. It's like 2 years we built unconventional life and it's had all this success, and now I'm like, okay, and who am I? And what do I want next? And what's here? And so it's totally humbling. In so many different ways. But I find that it's like often the thing that we need most, whether that's like the Fruitful Darkness and your release and creating that project, or me and like revamping Unconventional Life. It's, I find we create our own medicine, you know, for what we're needing to fuel.
Right.
In so many ways. Awesome. So I'd love for you to play a song for us. Just cue the guitar for me.
This is a very astrology inspired, you'll hear. But
everyone's Saturn return out there.
Yeah. It's called Jupiter's Call. Well, I've been riding around Saturn's rings, learning how each one sings, jumping from star to star. I've been learning to slow down, putting roots in that ground, wait until that fruit is ripe, growing up in that light. A sunshine through my window, she'll call me home tomorrow. It's my choice to be joyful, I'm giving up on sorrow. This is my story, and this is my vision, with everything right on time. Well, I've been hearing Jupiter's call, got me feeling strong and tall, laughing at the play of life, giving me a brand new sight. The war between right and wrong, I'm putting it all in song, and trust that I do my best, letting my body rest. A sunshine through my window, she'll call me home tomorrow. It's my choice to be joyful, I'm giving up all sorrow. This is my story, and this is my vision, where everything right on time. A sunshine through my window, she'll call me home tomorrow. It's my choice to be joyful, I'm giving up my sorrow, oh yeah. And this is my story, and this is my vision, where everything right on time.
Yeah! So good.
Thank you.
What was the name of that one?
Jupiter's Call.
Jupiter's Call.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah.
Yeah, very much star inspired, as you can tell, but
yeah. It was reminding me of, actually, as you were playing, I watched a clip of you and Deb's interview, and for those listeners, Deborah Silverman was also on our podcast, and she does a bunch of astrology work, and she was sharing the story about how you guys met. Or I guess it was like a few.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Totally, and yeah, she like we kind
playing,
of
yeah, we were playing. I always remind her of how awkward it was. Well, we were playing in Boulder at the Hanuman Festival, and I was doing like a solo thing in the day in the park there. Yeah. And I got done and I walked off the stage, and there's like all these people, you know, around. Mm-hmm. And she comes up to me and just right off the bat she says, "Hi, I'm Deborah Silverman, I'm Sting's astrologer. Do you want to come to my house for dinner?" And I was like, "What? Like, you are so weird. I'm not coming to your house." Like, she was just like, "I'm Sting's astrologer. I'm Sting's astrologer." She kept saying it. And I was like, "Cool. Like, good on ya." You know? Because I was just kind of in a zone, and I was like, "This is too weird." And so we didn't meet then. And then some time went by, like I think like six months or a year maybe.
Yeah.
And my friend Yoshi, who does the Hanuman Festival, he emailed me and he said, I want to gift you a session with this astrologer, but I didn't know that it was her zone.
Otherwise.
No, I didn't know. He just said, you know, he's a friend of mine, and yeah. was like, I just want to like gift you with a session. And I'm a really spiritual person, but like, I also don't like any like woo stuff, mm-hmm. you know? So I kind of had this perception of this being like, oh God, I don't want to, you know, to tell me like in 7 years you'll be, you know, but it was his gift and I didn't want to offend him.
Yeah.
So I did it. We were on tour. I was in Orlando, I'll never forget. And I was in my hotel room and called her. And in the beginning of the call, she's like, I don't know if you remember me, but I was like, oh my God, this is her, you know?
It's a gift.
And then, we had the session and it just blew my mind. Blew my mind. And I was like, oh my God. And I was just coming. I had already entered the Saturn return, but I was like kind of coming to the middle of it. And I was having a lot of problems with my health and body and my, she named all those things without me even telling her. And it was really, yeah, I mean, I wrote a whole album after. So.
So wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can resonate with that a lot. I'm also, I think, midway through in health and body.
Yeah.
Like, we found out we had black mold and dealt with that whole thing. And then it's just been like one thing after another thing.
Yeah.
It's
a lot.
It's a lot, for sure. So. Well, I'm glad you gave her another chance.
Yeah. Me too. I'm glad I gave her another chance too.
Yeah. So as we wrap up here, last question for you is, when you think about the unconventional life and living an unconventional life, what does that mean to you?
I think that the unconventional life, I mean, it's kind of like the forbidden, you know? Because there's an order, I think, or a pressure of what's right and what's wrong, and a pressure of how we are supposed to live our lives. And that pressure is created by people in power or media or Instagram, Facebook, like, you know. So I think the unconventional life, the life of, I guess, freedom, is kind of looked at as kind of like forbidden life, like it's, and yeah, I think that the those words don't need to be, I don't know if those words really like do, what am I trying to say, I feel like those words don't really are honest with the path of people that are taking the path of the unconventional life. I don't think that those words are quite honest and fair to say that it's forbidden and stuff like this, you know. So, but it really represents to me a life of uniqueness and a life of eccentricity, a life of freedom and growth and self sovereignty.
Self sovereignty.
Yeah.
Those two words together.
That was not a cliche.
Look at your own book. Trevor's cliches.
Yeah, Trevor's cliches. Yeah. They're all true. Yeah.
So good. For those that want to check out Fruitful Darkness and, you know, maybe you're hearing you for the first time and those have heard you for a long time, what's the best way to find the album and to stay in touch and follow along?
Yeah, the album is on all the Spotify, Apple Music, all that type of stuff, iTunes, but if you want to follow our journey and our music, it's trevorhallmusic.com and Trevor Hall Music on Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff. So keep the link.
So good. Unconventional Life fam, thanks guys for tuning in. More awesome content coming at you guys soon. Trevor, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for having me.